regretted. It wasn't lost on me that my asking her to let me in had more than one meaning. I wanted inside all the sweetness that would go wet and ready for me in an instant. But I was also starting to feel like I needed inside, past all the warmth and kindness she had for everyone, to the real heart of her. The tip of her nose rubbed back and forth over my collarbone as she shook her head and mumbled something else I couldn't make out. But her legs shifted between mine again, this time more deliberately. This time, it was a caress. This time, it was her leg sliding along the underside of my very erect cock, rubbing it up and down, causing it to pulse against her and making me shift my hips under her so I could chase the sensation. She made me desperate and entranced me with very little effort. I'd wanted to take her to bed from the minute I saw her, but now that I had her there, it felt so much more significant than getting off and getting a piece of her. It felt like something I had been fighting for, something I had been working towards without even knowing I was taking those steps. I buried my face in the side of her neck and licked along the creamy column. It was easy to maneuver her so that we were lying face to face, and I growled in satisfaction against her skin, now damp from my mouth, when her leg moved so that it was on the outside of mine, giving me unfettered access to her pretty pink center. I was kissing my way up to her ear and rubbing my hands all over her back while retaining my hold on her ass, when I vaguely heard the trill of some song I didn't recognize coming from somewhere on the floor. I was wrapped all around Dixie. I had the tip of my dick nestled perfectly between folds that were warming up and getting slick and ready when she suddenly made a noise that indicated she was no longer half asleep. Her eyes popped open, and she stared at me for a minute before her teeth sank into her bottom lip, and she put her hands on my shoulders and pushed back a little bit until I loosened my hold on her enough that she could roll away from me towards the side of the bed. She didn't have her typical morning scowl and blurry-eyed annoyance stamped on her pretty face. It was nice to know if I woke her up with foreplay, her claws stayed retracted. Not that it bothered me when she sunk them in. "That's Wheeler. I need to answer it. Some crazy stuff went on with my sister yesterday and he might need to talk." I heard her hands patting the floor where everything had landed after our acrobatics on the bed last night. I shook my head to get my thoughts together and frowned at her back even though she couldn't see my sour expression. "Can't you call him back when it's a better time for you?" I knew she went above and beyond for the people she cared about, but there was no missing the way her body responded to mine. She wanted what I was about to give her, half asleep or not. She looked at me over her shoulder with her strawberry brows and pulled into a scowl. I couldn't tell if it was directed at me or at the interruption. "It'll just take a second. I have to be there if he wants to talk." I scowled right back at her, but mine lacked the heat hers had, because in her haste to answer the call, she forgot to pull the sheet back up, and her plump, rosy nipples were poking out at me, looking like the most delectable little berries. That was the kind of breakfast in bed I was talking about. My frown quickly morphed into a smirk as I asked her, "What about what you want? When do you get to put your own needs first?" Her scowl deepened as she issued a breathy greeting into the phone. Maybe she didn't like me pointing out that she was always putting others first. But at some point, the girl deserved to have hers, and damn everyone else. I felt my lips pull upwards as I continued to watch her. Her cheeks heated, and she put a hand out to ineffectively ward me off as I leaned towards her. She wanted me to smile. I wasn't quite there yet, but I could grin. and I could do it wickedly and mischievously because I didn't care that she was on the phone trying to fix someone else's life. I cared that she wanted me, and there was no reason to deny herself or me. She deserved to come first every now and again. In fact, I was going to make it my mission to make sure she came first whenever we were together, for the foreseeable future, and not just when we were in bed. No, don't chase after Poppy, Wheeler. That's the worst thing you can do. If you go pounding on her door, she won't open it. Her eyes widened as I reached for her and started to pull her back across the bed towards me. She held up a hand and shook her head frantically while I continued to grin at her. I ignored her swatting hand as I rolled her much smaller frame under mine and trapped her with my bulk. She continued to glare at me as I caught the hand that wasn't busy with the phone in one of mine and pinned it to the bed next to her. Her wiggling only served to make a space for me between her legs that I immediately took advantage of. I captured one of the plump, pert tips between my lips and used the tip of my tongue to circle around and around. Her whole body went still, and I heard her suck in a breath and then assure the tatted-up caller on the other end of the phone that she was fine. "I just have caught something in my throat. Why are you worried about how Poppy feels? I know Callie can be intense, but shouldn't you be concerned with what she came over to tell you and not how the confrontation affected a total stranger?" I heard a masculine voice rise on the other end of the call and took advantage of the fact that Dixie moved the phone away from her ear to get my mouth on her other breast. I wanted them glistening and wet. I wanted them slippery enough that I could slide my cock between them until the tip touched her lips. That image had me growling around the stiff tip locked between my teeth. The vibration had her legs shifting against mine, where I had them immobilized in a different, more restless and less combative way.
What? No, I'm listening to you, and I'm not taking Callie's side. I just think you need to listen to her. What she has to say isn't going to make the fact that she cheated on you hurt any less, but it will go a long way towards both of you finding some kind of closure. I think my neighbor should be the least of your concerns at the moment.
Her words were coming out faster and faster. Instead of trying to wiggle away from me, she was pressing her chest up into my mouth as I licked across her collarbone and stopped to suck on the hollow at the base of her neck hard enough to leave a mark. She made a pained little sound and moved her legs more aggressively against mine. Because I wasn't done showing her that she should put her wants and her needs before others occasionally, and because I was enjoying the slow and sweet torture of touching her without having the luxury of having her hands undoing me in turn, I wrapped an arm across her chest and rolled us so that her back was plastered all along my front. My throbbing dick found a very happy home, nestled along the sexy crevasse of her backside. The rounded flesh pressing into my erection had me sucking in a breath that was loud enough to be heard by the person Dixie was struggling to have a conversation with.
"Jesus, Wheeler, do you really want me to get into all the ways in which it isn't your business who that was? You have enough on your plate without worrying about me."
She swore softly and turned her head to glare at me over her shoulder as I grabbed her knee and propped it up on the outside of mine. She could play at being mad all she wanted. That pussy that was what dreams were made of didn't lie. It was shiny and all kinds of perky and eager. Her desire was evident, and I wasn't about to deny either of us the otherworldly gratification we could give to each other.
"Listen, I have to go."
She sure did. I curled my hand around her knee and lifted it up so that I could prod her swollen entrance with my cock. Her body pulled at me, tugged at my rigid flesh until I couldn't resist the lure and pushed all the way into her. She made a strangled sound that I figured Wheeler had to recognize, because a split second later Dixie was muttering,
Talk to Callie. I'll check on Poppy later. Bye.
The phone fell to the bed as I started to thrust slowly in and out of her. She was still looking at me over her shoulder, but the heat that was angry was quickly switching to arousal. I'm super mad at you right now. The words had no force behind them, and I couldn't stop another grin from escaping as the hand that had been using the phone lifted up and bent behind her so that she could hold on to the back of my head as I latched my teeth onto the delicate dip at the base of her neck. I don't believe you. You don't feel mad. You feel like you want to come. You feel like you need to come. From this position behind her, I couldn't get as deep. My thrusts were shallow, slow, and deliberate. I could feel the way my cock dragged across tender flesh and sensitive nerves. It was delicious torture for both of us, but there was no way either of us were going to get off with this teasing, taunting pace. You feel like you want something just for you, Dixie. Take it. You're allowed to come first, pretty girl. She tossed her head back so hard that I had to jerk my chin out of the way to avoid getting knocked silly. I rubbed my fingers across the gentle swell of her belly, stopped to circle her tiny belly button with my pinky, and then found my way to the spot where we were joined. I slid my fingers through her wetness, spread her slick folds open so I could get my questing fingers on her sweet spot. Her clit leapt at the first press of my fingertips, and her entire body arched forward and away from mine as I circled the tender little nub relentlessly. I kissed the back of her neck under the fall of her hair and let out my own strangled sound when one of her clever hands disappeared between us so that every time I moved forward into her heat, the base of my cock also slipped along the flat of her palm. She used her fingertip to tickle the ultra-sensitive globes that hung heavy between my legs, and I knew I was about at the end of my rope when it came to gentle, playful fucking. I wanted to have an easy touch with this woman, who shines so bright, but she made me feel savage. She made me want to take and take and then take some more. Everything she offered up, I wanted more of because I was driven and determined to give it all back to her. I felt like I had something to prove, but I had no clue what that something was. I played with her clit until I felt her body start to hum and quake around me. I couldn't finish like this, but I had no problem holding her and watching her come apart in my arms while she did. Her head turned, and her eyes sought mine out, dark with desire and desperation. "You want me to come first?" Her voice was just a breath of sound as she panted and moved with me. "I want you to get what you want, period." My words had her body clamping down on mine like a velvet vice. Everything about her was a satin trap I never wanted to escape from. I would happily be her prisoner forever. "Then I want you to fuck me for real, and I want you to come with me." Well, shit. Just when I thought there wasn't any possible way she could be any more perfect, I might actually be able to make a relationship work if we never had to leave this bed. I kissed her cheek and chuckled into her soft skin. "I can fuck you if you aren't too sore, but I can't come with you, pretty girl. No more condoms." We'd blown through my limited supply last night. It was risky being inside her the way I already was, but it was a perilous chance I couldn't seem to stop from taking. "Oh." Her eyes widened and her teeth dug into her bottom lip. I lifted an eyebrow at her as I pulled out of her welcoming heat, leaving a trail of moisture on the inside of her leg. It was a sexy glimmer I didn't seem able to look away from. Before I could tell her that it was fine, that I fully planned on getting her off, regardless of any obstacles in our way, she turned away from me,
braced her hands on the mattress, lifted her gloriously round and perfectly curved ass in the air, and looked at me saucily over her shoulder. She always looked good, cute and charming, but bent over, that slit between her legs shining and wet and her backside ready and arranged for the taking. She had never looked better. Her wild hair slid across her pale shoulders, and I couldn't stop myself from running my fingers along each dip and divot in her spine. I trust you, Church. Her eyes pleaded with me to do the right thing, to tell her this was a bad idea even if she claimed to want it, but I kept telling her I wasn't that guy. I wasn't her Mr. Right, or even her Mr. Right Now. I was the guy that was going to take her every single way there was to take her, until either of those preferred options showed up. You shouldn't, but I'm lucky as hell that you do. I fisted a handful of her hair and pulled her head back at the same time I curled my other palm around her hip. I loved that she had a little something there to hold on to. It made her seem less breakable, able to withstand all the things I wanted to put on her. I leaned into her, curving myself over the tantalizing bow of her back, and pulled her hips back towards mine. She was already wet and ready from my earlier ministrations, so I slid in easily. We both gasped loud and long as I bottomed out, touching places inside of her that made my head spin and had my heart beating erratically. I kept her head pulled back as she rocked into me. I let my lips trail over the side of her neck as I braced myself on the mattress with a locked arm. I surged into her, powered myself in and out of her soaking channel as my vision blurred and my lungs burned for air. She bucked back into me, moving against me as violently as I was moving into her. Our bodies slapped together, filling the room with the sounds of sex and satisfaction. Thank God I actually knew what to do with her once I finally managed to get a girl naked and under me in this room. I was glad I didn't have any other experience here to compare to this one. Anything before Dixie would be pale and unremarkable in comparison. She was already primed and close from the way I'd handled her body earlier. She was moaning low and loud. I took a minute to hope that my dad and brother had already left, but if they hadn't, I didn't care. The noises she made urged me on, begged me to go at her harder, so there was no way I was going to remind her that we possibly weren't alone. The arch of her neck was so delectable. I wanted my teeth on it. I wanted my hands wrapped around it. I wanted to lick it and suck on it as her blood pumped furiously through her veins. I could see her pulse throbbing under the alabaster color of her skin, and it had my balls tightening and pleasure kicking hard at the base of my spine. I was close, and she still hadn't come first. I needed to get her there, and get her there fast. I let go of my hold on her hair and put a hand between her shoulder blades so that she had to lower her top half to the mattress. She rested her cheek on the wrinkled comforter as I clutched both her hips in my hands and really started to pound into her. I didn't stop to think that she was still tender from the night before. My only intent was to drive her to the brink so that she was as out of control as I was. She screamed my name, and I saw her hands convulse where they were wrapped in the fabric of the bedding. Her pussy locked down on my cock and engulfed it in waves of liquid pleasure. She scalded me with satisfaction and blinded me with bliss. This was perfection. This was more than I deserved. She was everything, and I had no doubt I was bound to ruin her. That thought was sobering enough that I managed to get it together enough to pull out of her engulfing heat before my own completion hit. I wrapped my cock in my fist,
gave it an obligatory stroke that almost wasn't needed, and watched with a primal sense of accomplishment as I marked her in the rawest and most basic way a man could. She was covered in sweat and sex. She had the sticky remnants of my orgasm glistening on the curve of her still lifted backside as she collapsed on the bed underneath me. It was an image that was going to be burned into my brain for an eternity. It was the picture I was going to pull up every time I was alone and missing her. I was going to remember that for this second, this moment, she was undeniably mine. The proof of it was clinging to her gorgeously speckled skin. It was my turn to lean over the side of the bed and rummage on the floor for something I could use to clean us both up with. I retrieved my shirt from the night before and scowled when it was my phone that rang and interrupted the quiet moment after the hurricane-like sex that had just consumed us. I swiped the cotton across Dixie's skin, feeling a little like a teenager scrambling to hide the evidence of what had just taken place. I felt my eyebrows lift when I noticed it was Dalen's number on my phone. I sent him a few text messages on holidays and his birthdays when I was deployed after Jules told me he got the boy his own phone. I typically didn't get a response back, so I couldn't imagine why he was calling me now that I was under the same roof in the same city as him. "Did you pocket dial me, kid?" Dixie shifted in the bed next to me and turned her head so that she was looking up at me, chocolate-colored eyes alight with curiosity. "I need you to come and pick me up." He sounded funny. Not that I knew how he normally sounded, but his voice was shaky and missing some of the resentment it had had last night. "I gotta go and get Elma May from the hospital and bring her home. Aren't you at school?" I swung my legs over the edge of the bed and reached for the pants I'd carelessly dropped last night. "Forget about it. I should have called Dad. I don't know why I thought you would show up when I needed you. You never had before." Sucker punch. I sucked in a breath through my teeth and rubbed a hand over my face as the kid hit me with a shot that took more out of me than any bullets and shrapnel that had ripped through my skin. "I'll come get you, Dalen, but you need to tell me what's going on so I can tell Jules. I'm not going to get between you and your dad on my first day home." "He's your dad too, asshole." My little brother wasn't pulling any punches. "I'm at the Stop and Save on Route 12. I skipped my first class with a couple of other guys on the team. There was an assembly on something stupid, so we slipped out and decided to grab something to eat at the gas station." He swore, and I heard his voice shake when he went on. "I was waiting for my buddy Drake to come out of the store. He's old enough to drive. So I was chilling by his truck when these guys in another truck pulled in and blocked us in." He cleared his throat, and I felt my blood start to boil and fury flare to life, blazing and explosive inside my veins. "They started saying some really ugly stuff, Dash, really ugly. I thought they were giving us a hard time because we were kids. I figured they maybe supported a rival school and were pissed we had Lowry colors on." He sounded like he was crying, and I wanted to level the entire fucking town in order to make him stop. "I'm on the way. Are you okay, Dalen?" "They messed me up, Dash. I mean, I'm a big dude, and I take hits day in and day out on the field. But there were three of them." "Son of a bitch. Do you need to go to the hospital?" Dixie gasped and bolted up next to me. She put a hand on my arm and patted the muscle that was locked in a battle-ready position. I would rip anyone that hurt the kid apart limb from limb. I would make them suffer in ways they couldn't imagine. I would hunt them down and run them to ground if it was the last thing I did. "No, my face is busted up, split lip, couple black eyes, and my knuckles are busted open. Just gonna piss Coach off. I tried to call Dad, but he got a call out to the holler and won't be back in city limits for another hour. I told my buddies I would find my own way home. I don't want them in trouble for skipping school.
coach will bench all of us for the next game if he finds out. The Holler was a trailer park way out in the boonies. It wasn't easy to get to, and the people that called it home weren't easy to deal with. Jules was going to be pissed when he found out what had happened. Hate to break it to you, kid, but once the old man catches sight of the damage done, he's going to want to talk to your friends. They're witnesses to an assault. I'm headed out the door right now, so sit tight. He mumbled a sullen agreement as I turned to look at Dixie, who was also climbing out of the bed, her curls clasped in a hand to hold them away from her face. I gotta go get Dalen. The kid is in bad shape, and I need to call Jules so I can fill him in. Can you go get Elma May and get her settled at her place? I know that's asking a lot. She nodded without hesitation and grabbed some clothes from the pile I'd brought in from the laundry room last night. Of course I'll go get her. I hope your brother's okay. I clasped the back of my neck and squeezed the thick coils of tension that were suddenly there. He'll be all right. The redneck assholes that fuck with him won't be able to say the same thing. I'm glad he called me. Surprised, but glad. She paused and gave me a serious look as she covered her nakedness with her bundle of clothes. Of course he called. He's giving you the opportunity to show up because he wants you to prove that you still care about him the way he still cares about you. You were his idol, and he's giving you a shot to reclaim your position as his hero. He could have called the police. In fact, he probably should have. He could have called a friend's parent or another adult he trusts, but he called you. Don't screw this up, soldier. This is a mission you cannot afford to fail. She was right about most of it. She was wrong about me being any kind of hero. A hero wouldn't have bolted when things got tough at home. A hero wouldn't have let the man he idolized and adored grieve alone for the second woman he loved. A hero wouldn't have abandoned his little brother with no explanation and no justification. A hero wouldn't make love to the woman of his dreams over and over again, knowing he was going to end up doing irreparable damage to her heart. A hero wasn't terrified to let himself fall in love, because all real heroes knew that pain was unavoidable, and it was the suffering that was optional. Hell, half the guys I served with had those very words inked on their skin somewhere. It was a reminder that I didn't just choose to suffer. I embraced the suffering until it was the only thing I could feel, aside from duty and obligation. I had been many, many things in my fairly short and most definitely exciting lifetime, but a hero wasn't one of them.
Chapter 13. Dixie. Julian's massive 4x4 dwarfed me. The shiny red truck had wheels that came up to almost my hip and gleaming chrome runners that ran along either side under the doors that I most definitely needed to use when I pulled myself up into the motorized beast. I was sure I had to look ridiculous behind the wheel, but the interior of the truck was nicer than anything I had inside my apartment, and I couldn't deny that I felt almost as badass sitting up so high and on top of so much horsepower as I did in the leather chaps Church was so fond of. I couldn't resist snapping a selfie, complete with duck face, to send to Wheeler, because even though the truck was newer and not one of the classics that he preferred, I knew that he would appreciate the hilarity of me being the one behind the wheel of the beast. I got a text back filled with question marks and a whole bunch of confused face emojis, followed by one that simply said, "Sweet ride." I owed him an explanation as to why I'd been so distracted and dismissive on the phone earlier. Not that I could figure out one that wasn't a lie. We were close and shared a lot, but I doubted we were talk about the amazing sex I was having with the guy you almost threw down with in my living room close. Hell, apparently there had been issues behind closed doors with him and my sister for a while now, and neither one of them had bothered to fill me in. How was I supposed to help if I didn't have all the information? Maybe Church was right. Maybe it wasn't my problem to try to fix. Maybe it wasn't my place to wade in and play peacemaker, even though that's what I had always done. Callie had to find her way to the truth, and I couldn't walk Wheeler by the hand to forgiveness if he didn't want to go. even if all the mediator tendencies I harbored and hoarded were screaming at me to do something, to smooth everything over so that my family could stay the way it was. I wanted everyone to be happy, but spending these last few days with Church and being dropped into the center of his fractured family had shown me that sometimes wanting happiness wasn't enough. You had to work for it, and once you had it, you had to cultivate it and care for it. I like to pretend that everything was always coming up sunshine and roses, but being on Church's home turf reminded me that every day had a night, that the sun had to go down, and that as pretty as flowers were, they all eventually died, no matter how carefully maintained they were. There was no good without the bad, no joy without sorrow, no peace without war, and there definitely couldn't be love without the sour taste of hate. You had to know what one felt like to fully experience and appreciate the other. All the things I wanted and strived to bring into my life and the lives of others couldn't be experienced without the furious backlash of the opposite emotion. I took up 2 parking spaces. I felt bad about it for a second, and then rationalized we would be leaving soon, so it really didn't matter. I was going to have to pull the mammoth machine around to the front when they wheeled Elma out in the wheelchair she was going to be confined to for the next few weeks anyways. I didn't envy the physical therapist or the home care nurse that were going to be spending the next 6 weeks getting Elma May back on her feet. The feisty white-haired terror was going to put everyone through their paces during her recovery. I maneuvered my way through the small hospital, acutely aware that I was drawing a lot of curious looks that I hadn't been on the receiving end of yesterday. It could have been the very obvious sex hair I was rocking. It could have been the fact that without Church by my side, I was an unfamiliar face in a place where everyone seemed to know everyone else. Or more likely, it could have been my tightly fitted t-shirt that had a cow on the front of it with the words, "I'm not in the mood," printed below it. I thought it was cute and kind of funny, but the side eyes and the lifted eyebrows from everyone I passed indicated they didn't share my quirky sense of humor. I actually owned a closet full of normal, non-hilarious clothes, but they weren't things I wanted to roll into a ball and shove into a backpack that may or may not have ended up sliding across asphalt. In fact, my ridiculous t-shirts were a big hit at the bar when I wore them. They were a conversation starter, and it gave the guys that were going to stare at my boobs anyways an actual reason to have their gazes locked on my chest. So as silly as they were, I had no plan on ditching them, no matter how many turned-up noses and divisive snorts were fired my way. Plus, Church didn't seem to mind them. Not that I would retire them, even if they were suddenly a deal-breaker. I would miss his dick, but I would miss that little piece of me even more. I knocked on the door to the room where Elma May had been the day before, and braced myself as a sweetly southern, "Y'all come on in," came my way. I knew she wasn't going to like the fact that she was stuck with me instead of her boy, but I was determined to put on a happy face and force the old battle axe to like me. "Hi, Elma May." Church ran into an emergency with Dalen, so he asked me to come and get you. "Sorry, you're stuck with the Yankee." She was sitting up in the bed much like she had been yesterday, only today, instead of kittens, her top had owls on it. Not just owls, but owls wearing headphones. Owls that were apparently waiting for the bass to drop. I couldn't stop the little laugh that escaped me, but it died almost immediately as Elma narrowed her eyes at me, as she took in my messy hair and casual attire. "Well, bless your heart, dear. You didn't have to rush over and get me without taking the time to get ready. I'm not going anywhere with this busted stump." She sounded sweet, but I'd been around Asa and his sister, Aiden, enough to know that when anyone from the South blessed anything, they weren't actually sanctifying you or praying for your well-being. The opposite of that was actually true. Bless pretty much meant F you and the horse you rode in on. I wasn't gaining any brownie points with Elma May. "Church didn't want you waiting around when you finally got your walking papers, so I hurried over. Do you need to see the doc before we spring you?" I refused to let any kind of annoyance at her rudeness show. My smile stayed firmly in place, and I used the same placating tone I often employed when I had to talk a drunk into giving up their last drink when it was time to shut the bar down. It rarely failed me, but Elma gave me a sharp smile that let me know she knew exactly what I was doing. There would be no killing her with kindness, at least not today. No need to bother the doctor. He's a busy man. Let me just call the nurse so they can bring the chair and help me into it. I need to be home before noon. That's when the home nurse and the physical therapist are showing up to get my house invalid ready. What happened to Dalen? Did he get hurt at practice? I keep telling Julian that football is too violent. That boy is too smart and too handsome to be rolling around in the mud with the rest of the boys his age. I open my mouth to deflect, to give a vague explanation as to what constituted an emergency serious enough that Church couldn't be here when it was what he had come home to do. But before I could, she pointed a finger at me and told me, "Don't you piss on my leg and tell me it's raining, girl. You tell me where my boys are, and if they're okay or not." I cringed at the visual her words conjured and cleared my throat. Well, I would never piss on anyone's leg, so you're safe. She gave an exasperated sigh and tossed her thin arms up in the air. It means don't lie to me, child. I can see the wheels turning under that mane on the top of your head. I subconsciously lifted a hand to my curls and tugged on one until it straightened and sprung back. This lady was tough as nails. I'd never had anyone be so overtly nasty to me before. Well, aside from the third-wheel mother that tagged along on that date from hell. I sighed and gave her as much of the story as I could. Dalen skipped a class this morning and ran into some trouble. It sounded like some other guy surrounded him and started a fight. He was roughed up and worried about getting his friends in trouble if he called the cops or went back to school. Jules was out at something called the Holler, so Church had to go get him. He's really, really angry. The guys that messed with Dalen picked the wrong little brother to mess with, because his big brother is back home and not going to tolerate that kind of hate or ugliness. Lowry is a quiet town. We have our problems just like anywhere else, but Dalen has lived here for 15 years and never had anyone so much as say boo to him. Most folks round these parts know his daddy's the sheriff, and those that don't know the kid is a future Hall of Famer. No reason for him to run into trouble, other than the fact that his big brother is home and brought you with him. She reached for the control on the side of her bed and pushed a button. Something's not right. I sighed again and struggled to get my toothy armor back in place. She was making it feel impossible, and I hated that my usually cheery facade was so easily navigated around. I'm sure Church and Jules will figure it out. She narrowed her eyes at me and crossed her arms over her narrow chest. Chipper little thing, aren't you? Never would have pegged you as Dashiell's type. When he was younger, he liked sweet southern girls, ones that knew how to dress and speak properly. Do you even have a job, or are you planning on mooching off a military pension for the rest of your life? She sniffed at me and turned up her nose. The archaic and clearly old-fashioned snub was the last straw. I was done playing nice when she was throwing cheap shot after cheap shot at me and not getting called for a foul. I put my hands on my hips and cocked my head to the side. I have a job. I'm a waitress at a bar. I held up a hand before she could drag my beloved profession through the mud. Don't even start with how that isn't a real job, because let me tell you, I make more on a busy weekend than most of the people I know that have degrees. I like working with people. I love my boss, and I would never have met Church if it wasn't for the bar. I'm never going to own a yacht or be able to afford a vacation in Saint-Tropez with Harry Styles and the Kardashians, but I live a good life, and more days than not, I'm really happy. It was my turn to point at her and turn my nose up in her direction. I understand that you think I somehow kept Church in Denver when you would have preferred him home, but you do realize he is a grown-ass man, a man that served his country, a man that made the choice, be it the right one or the wrong one, to leave all those years ago. He's also the one that made the choice to not come home during that entire time, when I didn't even know him. You can blame me all day long for delaying his homecoming because I care about him, and I want to make being here as easy for him as possible. but you have to put the responsibility for all the choices that came before me on him. I get that it's easier to be mad at me because I'm a stranger, and I won't be around for very long. But eventually you're going to have to put all that anger where it belongs. On Church. A deep-throated laugh burst out of her, and she seemed to transform right in front of my eyes. And the woman that belonged in that ridiculous owl shirt appeared. Her frail and severe features morphed into a smile that was as sunny as the one I usually had plastered on my face. I was so dumbstruck by the change that my jaw dropped, and I couldn't stop my eyes from blinking rapidly. You do have a backbone somewhere underneath all the pretty hair. I was starting to wonder if you were ever going to get your knickers in a knot. My boy needs a woman that can step in and save him from himself. He's got a good heart like his mama, and he's brave like his daddy. But somewhere along the way, he forgot both those things. I want a good woman to remind him of who he was. But that's going to be a fight you can't win with only a smile, even if it is a pretty one. It's a fight worth fighting no matter what I have to use to win. It wasn't a battle I'd realized I was engaged in until she pointed out what was at stake. But I'd been in the trenches since I blindly agreed to jump feet first into the middle of his homecoming. I knew he couldn't see past the scared kid that had made some bad choices to protect himself from further hurt and heartache. He couldn't see the man that I saw, the man I loved, before I even knew how much he really had to both love and loathe. He wouldn't recognize the man that Rome saw and trusted with his life and his livelihood if he was staring at his own reflection in the mirror. He couldn't see the man his little brother worshipped and the man his father was proud of. He couldn't see the man Elma May loved like a son, the one that had dropped everything and come running the minute he knew she needed him. All he could see was that kid that packed a bag and turned his back on everyone that needed him. I wanted to be there when he finally opened his eyes and saw the light, the brightness that was waiting to shine out of him. What keeps you from being happy on the days you don't smile, Miss Dixie? She sounded genuinely curious, and now that I was making headway, I couldn't seem to keep the truth in that painful place where I always kept it. I love my job, and I enjoy my life, but I wanted something different. I wanted someone to love me in a way that I'd know they could never not love me. I wanted a family, a big one, and a pretty house with flowers outside. I wanted the kind of happy that only happens when your dreams come true. My voice trailed off when I realized she was staring intently at me, like she was trying to see inside of my head and my heart at the same time. My folks had that, so I grew up with something beautiful and special all around me. My sister found it too, so I always assumed it would find me. It had, but the person behind all those hopes and dreams had no idea he was the one. Honey, you are far too young to throw in the towel on those daydreams. If all you want is some pretty flowers and a nice house, you go out and get those yourself. You don't need a man to provide that for you. And you have to know, after spending time with Dashiell, that even a love that feels like it will last forever can be cruelly taken away. It doesn't matter how tightly you hold on to it. I gave a lopsided grin, because I liked the spark of feminist outrage so quickly after she had been throwing around how a woman should look and sound. I was glad she wasn't stuck in old ideals and traditions after all. Now that she wasn't purposely pushing at me, I could see how easy it was to really like her. She was a character, and had no trouble speaking her mind. I was saved from having to make my brain work by several nurses entering the room with a wheelchair. They were all smiling, and it was clear this was the real Elma May. This was the kind-hearted older woman that held so much of Church's heart. The woman that all these people enjoyed taking care of and were sad to see go. The harpy that greeted me, the shrew that raked me over the coals, was all an act. She put me through the gauntlet to see if I was worthy of her boy, and by some miracle I passed.
You ready to go home, Elma?
It was a male nurse that lowered the rails of her bed and helped her move her long legs over the edge. The brace that held her legs straight and secure went all the way up to her hip and seemed very cumbersome and awkward to move.
More than ready. I've been missing all the new episodes of The Blacklist.
I can't wait to get back in front of my DVR. He chuckled as I still stood there open-mouthed and unable to move.
You're the coolest, Elma. I'll have Jenna bring the kids by with cookies once you're up to having visitors. If you need anything, don't hesitate to call.
It took some maneuvering and a very delicate touch to get her settled in the chair. Once she was comfortable with her leg extended out in front of her, she patted the male nurse's arm and offered him a warm smile. You do that. But now that all my boys are home, I have everything I need. She lifted an eyebrow at me and tilted her head in my direction as she fake whispered, And Dashiell even brought me a pretty girl to help with all the things he won't want to do. My boy has good taste, doesn't he? All the nurses turned to look at me, and I noticed the looks again, only this time they didn't feel judgmental, but more considering.
Dash always got all the best-looking girls. Looks like time hasn't changed much. We were all wondering if your new friend raided your closet when she walked in.
The male nurse chuckled, and I looked down at my cow shirt, and then over to Elma's owl shirt. I couldn't stop the almost hysterical laugh that burst out of me. No wonder they had been watching me like a hawk. I reminded them all of their favorite eccentric. Quirky was cute, even when you were in your 80s. That was good to know. I shoved my hands through my hair and gave a tug at the roots to kick myself back into gear. I'm going to go move the truck around to the front of the building. It's lifted to the sky, so I hope you're prepared to pick her up and put her into it. The male nurse nodded at me and told me, like it was obvious,
We know all about that monster Jules drives. That's why I made sure I was on shift when it was time for Elma to go home. We look out for our own around these parts.
It was like something out of a movie. All that was missing was Tom Hanks eating chocolate, or Brad Pitt reverse aging, or Julia Roberts dying a tragic death. It made me all kinds of warm and fuzzy on the inside to think of them collectively looking out for each other and worrying about the well-being of the community as a whole. This little southern town had every single thing I ever wanted in my life, including the difficult man I couldn't get my stubborn heart to let go of. Of course you look out for one another, because that's perfect, and this place is made of magic and dreams. I'll meet you outside. When I made my way back to the front doors, I realized all the people that I thought had been sneering at me were actually smirking and trying not to laugh at the fact that the girl church went halfway around the world to find had the same unusual sense of style and the same kind of effortless charm as the woman that had been the only constant in his youth. I had none of the long, lean elegance that Elma May possessed, even confined to a wheelchair. But it was clear, despite our physical and generational differences, that we both wanted to love and care for those that needed it most. I was lost in thought as I made my way across the parking lot. I was thinking that I was foolishly glad I had passed Elma's test. Not that it mattered. She might actually like me after all was said and done. But that didn't change the fact that all church thought we could have was a complicated friendship and some seriously mind-blowing sex. Granted, I was really enjoying exploring both of those things with him, but I couldn't deny that the closer we got, both physically and emotionally, the more I wanted to build every fantasy I had right on top of him and surround him in promises. He told me I deserved to put myself first, to have everything I wanted, but he was the one keeping the thing that I desired most annoyingly out of reach. I had the keys to the truck in my hand and my head in the clouds, so I barely managed to jump out of the way when a big black SUV roared by me, disturbingly close. Close enough that I could feel the heat coming off the motor. Close enough that I could see my own startled face in the glossy paint as it flew by. Close enough that if I'd been paying attention, I would have locked eyes with the driver. My swift reaction made me drop the keys as I jumped back, my backside hitting the side of the borrowed truck with a thump as I stared after the SUV like an idiot. I hadn't heard a honk. I hadn't heard the engine rev or even the brakes howl when they got too close. It was almost like the person behind the wheel had deliberately aimed for where I was walking. It seemed like they wanted to watch me jump and purposely cause me to freak out. It seemed like they wanted to scare me, because if they had wanted to plow me over, they'd have had ample opportunity while I was fantasizing about a future I couldn't have with the only guy I'd ever wanted one with. It was alarmingly similar to what had happened on the highway with the car trying to run the Harley off the road. Close enough to scare, but not close enough to kill. I looked down at my shaking hands and swore long and loud at the fact I hadn't had my wits about me enough to look at either the driver or license plate. I knew Church was going to be even angrier than he already was when I told him what happened. He might not want to play house with me, but I had no question about how protective and fierce he was over me. It was one of the things that had made me fall for him from the start. Elma May was right. Something wasn't right here, and it was becoming more and more obvious that it was directly related to Church bringing me home with him.
Chapter 14. Church. Locating Dalen was easy enough when I got to the convenience store. He was crouched down on the curb in front of the ice cooler out front, the hood of a gray sweatshirt pulled up over the top of his head, and both of his hands wrapped up in white bandages that I assumed came from inside the store. He looked like a prize fighter that had gone a few rounds with a worthy competitor. And I knew from first-hand experience that both his eyes were going to be dark purple before the day was done. His bottom lip was already swollen to twice its normal size, and there was a line of dried blood down the center of it, where it was split in half. He was going to be hurting, even though it looked like he had put up one hell of a fight. As pissed off as I was, I also had a good dose of masculine pride working, that he had been able to hold his own when things got rough. He rose gingerly to his feet as I swung off the bike and made my way over to him. Got in touch with Jules. Turns out the call out to the holler was bogus, so he was already on his way back when I called. He should be here any minute. It didn't escape either of our notices that the call that took him way out of town coincided perfectly with Dalen getting attacked. Someone was pulling the strings of my return, making us all dance around like puppets and playthings. What started out as annoying and problematic was quickly turning dangerous. I told you they weren't from around here. I didn't recognize the truck or any of the guys. They were a bunch of backwoods types, the kind that don't come into any town very often. Think Deliverance. He took his hood off and licked at the slice in the center of his lip. There was something weird when they rolled up on us, though. Weird how? The side of his head had a nasty scrape on the side of it, and there was a furious red line along the side of his neck, like someone had tried to strangle him. The marks made my vision go red, and I couldn't stop the scowl or the furious flood of dirty words that rolled off my tongue. Dalen looked at me with wide eyes and shifted his weight on his sneaker-clad feet. He tucked his bandaged hands in the center pocket of his shirt and looked down at the ground as his brow furrowed while he tried to concentrate. Well, I was supposed to be in class. I don't usually ditch. Today was a fluke. But when they stopped, the guy that was riding in the back pointed at me and yelled, "There he is!" He shrugged his shoulders and let them fall. It was like they were looking for me, but that's impossible, because I wasn't supposed to be here. It didn't seem like they were out looking for just anyone that didn't look like them to mess with. I mean, there aren't a lot of us in Lowry, but there are enough that I couldn't have been the first dark-skinned guy they came across today. It seemed like they were looking for a very specific person of color. He pointed to his face. This color. I exhaled a long breath and felt fear, frigid and chilling, curl around my spine and slither out of the darkness where it always lurked. That voice that reminded me what happened when I was around those I loved whispered ugly insinuations and taunts in my ear. That poison that infected the people I cared about was starting to seep out. And it had only been a handful of hours that I'd been home. I looked at the young man who bore a striking resemblance to the image I looked at every day in the mirror. He was obviously years younger, and favored Julian in ways I couldn't, but there was no mistaking we were related. There wasn't a single doubt in my mind that the guys that had put a beating on Dalen were looking for me, and found him instead. The convenience store was one of the first stops in Lowry when you were coming into town. I bet they saw him standing outside of the building and thought they got a lucky break. My little brother had taken a beating that was meant for me. 10 years of peace and quiet. 10 years of a fairly normal childhood, minus the fact that he'd lost more than one mother. 10 years of security and serenity, things the poor kid deserved more than most. And it only took one day for the bad that always seemed to work its way into my life to blow it all to hell. They were more than likely looking for me, kid. It's your bad luck that we happen to look so much alike. I shook my head and lowered my gaze to the ground. You took a beating that was meant for me. I'm sorry. Sorry for the fact he was hurting. Sorry that it was my fault. Sorry that I brought ruthless things with me wherever I went. He snorted, which had me lifting my head so that we were staring at each other. It was like looking at a better version of myself. Dalen had been through all the same horrors of love and loss that I had, but even though he was just a little boy at the time, he'd handled everything that happened better than I had. I'm not sorry I look like you. His bloody lip twitched as he tried to smile. The motion made it bleed and had him wincing in pain. He used the bandage on his hand to stem the flow of red and lifted his eyebrows at me. When you weren't around, sometimes looking at myself was the only reminder I had of you, Dash. Right in the fucking heart. This kid was going to be the end of me with his truth bombs and unvarnished honesty. Plus, I can't even handle all the girls that are up on me all the time. Looking like you has its advantages. I couldn't hold back a chuckle. But the seriousness of the situation and of his words didn't allow the levity to last very long. When I left, I didn't plan on staying away. At first, I couldn't leave because of boot camp. And then I got shipped overseas, and there was a whole learning curve there that kicked my ass. Eventually, it was easier to keep some distance because I had a job to do, and I couldn't think about both staying alive and all the what-ifs happening back here. He narrowed his battered eyes at me and gave me a dirty look. It was better for you, Dash. It was never better for us. Your country might have needed you, but so did your family. He scoffed at me and pointed one of his wrapped fingers in my direction. Do you have any idea how long I thought it was my fault you took off? That made me step back, like he'd hit me in the face. What? Why would you think that? You were 5 when I left, Dalen. Yeah, you left because Caroline got sick. You loved her, but so did I. And losing her hurt me just as bad as losing Mom hurt you. Caroline was the only mom I ever knew, and I know she never would have met Dad if I hadn't been born. I'm also smart enough to know neither one of you would have lost Mom if it hadn't been for me. She wanted me so badly it cost her her life. I was the reason you lost Mom, and the reason Caroline was around in the first place. That all leads to you leaving because of me. I used to cry about it to Dad. I missed you, Dad missed you, Emma May missed you, but you were nowhere to be found, and I blame myself for that. It took years and years for him to convince me your choices had nothing to do with me and everything to do with you. He still tells me all the time that even though he lost Mom, he got me. And he got to have Caroline, even if it wasn't for very long. He always tells me that he gained as much as he lost. Thank God he'd had Jules to set him straight and to battle the blame and guilt that I'd allowed to suck me under. Dalen hadn't been allowed to become a victim of all that grief and sorrow that tore apart my insides. I left because I was a coward, Dalen. I can't lie about that. I didn't have it in me to hold Jules up under the weight of losing another woman he loved, even though I owed it to him to at least try. I was pathetic, and I was pitiful. Honestly, I still am, because I should have been here. The army took me in, gave me purpose and regimentation. I was lost, and they put me on a path that was easy to navigate after I felt like every move I made here pushed me closer to the edge of catastrophe. The army told me where to be, what to do, how to act, how to look. I didn't have to think. All I had to do was follow orders, and it worked for me. I knew if I came home, all of that would go away. It already has. I waved a hand at his face. Look what happened to you, not even a day after I got home, kid. Chick gets fucked up, and I don't even have to try. His swollen eyes widened, and he took a step closer to me, which brought him off the curb and had us almost chest to chest and eye to eye. He was tall for his age, but I still had a solid 3 or 4 inches on him. That didn't stop his anger from making him seem much larger and far older than he was. He poked me in the center of the chest, and his voice raised as he spit furious words at me. The people we've lost, the heartache we've suffered, none of that makes us unique or special. People lose loved ones all the time because bad stuff happens to good people every single day. I thought about Dixie's dad and all the families I'd had to contact while I was overseas when one of their sons, husbands, or fathers had come to their end at the hands of our enemies. Good men dying while doing what they were trained to do. I thought about the bullet Rome took in the center of the chest when he was home, because he made the wrong man mad during a bar fight. He could have easily died and left Cora and their daughter behind when he was supposed to be living a safe, quiet, civilian life. I couldn't ignore the fact that my brother, young, innocent, and blameless, had simply been in the wrong place at the wrong time today and paid for it heavily. Bad things did happen to good people every single day, because fate was a bitch, and there was no control in her, even if you desperately wanted to. You know what does make us special? What does make us unique? He put both of his hands on the center of my chest and pushed. That we had not one, but two moms that loved us unconditionally for as long as they could. He pushed me back again, and I caught his wrists, so that he didn't hurt himself more than he already was. We have a dad that has never given up on us, never walked away. He lost just as much as we did, even more, because he lost you too. But he's always been there, and he always will be. He could take a bullet tomorrow while he's on the job, Dash. He could be taken away just as easily as Mom and Caroline were. But I don't think about that, because he won't let me. He wants me to appreciate the time we have together and not get lost in what could happen, because if either of us did that, we would stop living, stop caring about each other, just like you did. Do you know how lucky we are, Dash? You ran away from everything that you lost and totally turned your back on everything you still had. Maybe you had an excuse at first, because everything that happened with Caroline did suck, and it was scary, and you never really got over losing Mom. But every time you chose to not come home after that, you chose wrong, because we were still here. He shook me loose and turned his back on me as he pulled his hood back up over his head. You're right. You are pathetic. I'd faced off with armed terrorists and insurgents wearing explosives. I'd gone toe-to-toe with extremists and militants. I'd brawled in bars and in close-quarters combat. I'd taken bullets and been sliced open by tactical knives. I'd been put through the ringer by drill sergeants and the opposition, but none of it had leveled me out and taken me down like my little brother just did. He just inflicted wounds that wouldn't heal. But they were ones that were necessary in order for the poison inside to start to leak out. He lanced the infection that had lived inside of me so long by showing me what a man that had been through hell and back looked like when he just kept going. My brother and Jules kept walking, no matter how high the flames got, and no matter how hot the fire burned. I had stopped and let the heat consume me. I quit walking and gave up while everyone else marched on. It was time to get my ass in gear and catch up to the rest of my family. I reached out and clasped his stiff shoulder. It took some work to get him turned towards me, but when he did, I pulled him to me and wrapped him up in a hug he struggled to get out of. I wasn't a hugger by nature, though I was getting used to the ones Dixie kept pulling me into, so it was awkward and uncomfortable, but I held on to Dalen until he realized I wasn't going to let go. Everything you said is the truth. I did choose wrong many times over, but I swear on all that I love that I will work on it now that I'm home. I squeezed him until I felt some of the tension exit his tall frame. Hesitantly, his arms lifted to return the hug. Because he was a teenager, and because he had a reputation in the town, I got a very stiff pounding on the back like we were bros instead of brothers. It made me chuckle, but I would take it. I let him go and gave him a serious look. I'm serious. I owe you and Jules the world that I worked my ass off to make a better place. I will show up, Dalen, and I'll keep showing up. I will be here. I could see he didn't believe me fully, and I didn't blame him. I'd been lying to everyone for so long about so many things, it was hard for him to know if I was actually being truthful. We'll see. That girl you brought home with you is hot. When she goes, I bet you run after her. We both turned our heads as a patrol car pulled into the lot and stopped next to my Harley. Even from this distance, it was easy to see Jules was not a happy parent or police officer. She is hot, but she's not mine to keep. Even if the idea of a guy showing up to give her everything she wanted, that fuzzy future with all the trappings, made me feel murderous and alarmingly possessive. Jules got out of the car and slammed the door with enough force that the entire vehicle shook. You okay, son? He walked right up to Dalen and grabbed him on either side of the face and turned his head this way and that while assessing the damage. They got some good shots in, didn't they? Gonna take you to see the doc. I don't like the look of that ding on the side of your head. Embarrassed, Dalen swatted Jules' hands away. I'm fine. Jules snorted and put his hands on his hips. You might be fine, but if you want to finish out your season, we're going to